This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour with Pastor David M. Atkinson. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your interest and request that you pray for this ministry. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Now here is Pastor Atkinson.
Let's turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1 and the 18th verse. His message this morning, and it was an outstanding message, Evangelist Dan Haddock asked the question. He asked, just how close are the United States to the wrath of God? He asked, have these United States gone too far? Can this nation still turn around and go back? Let's start our reading in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. I love the United States of America. I am here by choice. I looked at the creeping socialism in my beloved homeland, Canada, and I chose to move away from the creeping socialism and the pluralism that was even much further advanced there in the 70s and 80s than what it is here, or even was here in the 70s and 80s. I chose to come here. But I do not take the view that some seem to take. That view is that my country, right or wrong, and America can do no wrong, and don't you ever say anything negative. Now, that position may be characterized as the ostrich position. The ostrich position is wonderful for ostriches, but bad for Christians. She is my beloved country, right or wrong, but that doesn't mean that I must, by silence, endorse everything that my nation does. And if I really love my land, there will come that time when I will speak a Bible-educated heart and a Bible-educated mind. So I love America. I love her when she's right, and I love her when she's wrong, but I'm going to say when she is wrong, and that requires love. It takes love for a parent to say, stop doing that, or you will lose your privileges for a month. That takes love. It is not love to be permissive and say, my country, right or wrong, so anything that goes is acceptable to me. The Bible says the wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness, not just Nigerian unrighteousness, not just Kenyan unrighteousness or Japanese unrighteousness, not just Russian unrighteousness, all unrighteousness, Canadian and American included. We are being duped by Satan if we assume that just because we're America, God loves us more than he does other nations, and he will suspend his own laws just because he loves America so much. That is faulty doctrine. He cannot deny himself and what he judges in Nigeria and Kenya and Japan. He will also judge in America. He must. He will never deny himself or his own holiness or righteousness. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest or evident in them, obvious in them or to them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him, that is of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. There's the battle of the mind and the battle for the images of the mind. They became vain in their imaginations and the images of their mind, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now keep your finger in Romans 1 and go back to the Psalms for one verse. Psalm 9:17. Psalm 9:17. This is one of those verses that we often read on Lord's Day morning of Independence Day weekend. But I wanted to save it for this evening. Psalm 9:17. I want you to read it with me. Let's all read it out loud. Psalm 9:17. The first two words are "the wicked." Let's read it together. "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." All the nations except Canada? No. All the nations except Great Britain? All the nations except the United States? No, it says all the nations that forget God. And I believe in the infallibility and the inerrancy of Scripture. And it says just what it means. And above the word "all," you can write the USA. If she persists in forgetting God. Now come back to Romans 1. The text is verse 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Have you ever heard the expression "darkest Africa"? Have you ever heard that David Livingstone went to cut a swath through the jungles to open up darkest Africa to the gospel and the civilized condition that the gospel brings? Let me say, it's only the gospel that can bring civilization. Have you heard that phrase, "darkest Africa"? That phrase was coined as an umbrella description of paganism. Their foolish heart was darkened or became pagan. America, the Western world, and the new paganism. Or how civilized nations become uncivilized. America, Great Britain, and the Western world are fast becoming pagan. Some call it the new or the neo-paganism. Some others now describe the entire world as postmodern, which is to say that the whole world has moved beyond or past modernism, and the cycle is beginning to repeat itself, and we are now a postmodern world. We have had wonderful scientists, inventions, modern inventions, modern conveniences, but we have moved past the conveniences that modern society birthed, and we've moved beyond that, and we're now postmodern and heading back to an educated paganism. We've moved beyond that to wealthy paganism. An ever-rising stock market wealthy paganism the new paganism or postmodernism. The philosophies of men, the sophistries of women, and you'll know in a few minutes why I connect sophistry, mental games, foolish mental imaginings of women. The philosophies of men and the sophistries of women have taken us past civilized modernity and are plunging us headlong into the new barbarity. And the darkness of paganism revived. Let me suggest to you, there are a number of the philosophies of men and the sophistries of women that have been agents or tools of taking us into a post-modern situation, a situation of the new paganism. Here are some of the tools that have turned us back to the new paganism. Number one, the notion of relativism. The notion of relativism, that there are no absolutes. There are no absolute truths, no absolute doctrines. There's no such thing as absolute morality. Everything is relative. And as Dr. Michael Baer very astutely and keenly points out, we were somewhat encouraged when Robert Bennett, the former czar of education, began to talk about values. And we were somewhat encouraged. And we said, well, there's hope. But we forgot that values can vary from person to person. You may value a Lincoln. I personally value a 1956 Thunderbird with a little opera window. And you would not nearly impress me with a 1999 Lincoln as you would if you took me to an automobile demonstration and pulled back a curtain and showed me a 56 T-Bird. Values vary from individual to individual. The Christian term is virtue, as Dr. Baer has said. But we were quite taken up. Oh, we're going to have a return to values. Whose? God's or the devil's? Different people attach different value to different things, and different acts of behavior or conduct. But relativism is one of the tools that has taken us to the new paganism. A second tool that has taken us to the new paganism is compartmentalization. Compartmentalization. And that's this lingo that says, oh, there's a big wall of separation between my private life and my public life. Ever heard that? Heard it recently? It's one of the tools that has shifted us back towards a new paganism, compartmentalization, where there can be a large discrepancy or a differentiation between one's private life and his public life. And then he says, it's none of your business. What I do privately has no bearing on what I do publicly. Never the twain shall meet. What would they have us do? Accept the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde notion that it's all right to be Mr. Hyde a few hours every night as long as you're Dr. Jekyll most of the time. Is that what they would have us accept? And that's where this compartmentalization leads. You know, I just commit adultery a few hours every week. And it's none of your business nor God's what I do in my private life. Compartmentalization. And according to the polls, the majority of the citizens of the United States of America believe the lie of compartmentalization. The third tool that has led us back toward the new paganism is pragmatism. And that's a philosophy that says the validity of an act or a course of action The validity of an act or course of action is proven by its utilitarianism or its usefulness. Simply put, if it gets the desired results, do it. No matter what you had to do, just get the desired results. The end justifies the means. That's pragmatism. Pragmatism says it's good if it serves the purpose. It's good for you if it does the trick and produces the quote-unquote result that makes you happy. It's results-oriented. It is not absolutes-oriented. It's totally utilitarian. There's a fourth tool that Satan has used to bring about the new paganism. That's tolerance in the name of love. Tolerance in the name of love. Now, it used to be that most Americans believed that you could care for an individual while you challenged and disagreed with his behavior. I repeat, it used to be that most Americans believed that you could care for the individual while you challenged, corrected, and disapproved of his behavior. But now the Freudians say, oh my, if you challenge his behavior, you're going to irretrievably wound his ego and self-esteem. So not only must you care for him as a person, you must accept his behavior. And so we have this whole scene of the acceptance of so-called alternate lifestyles. That's the outgrowth of tolerance in the name of love. Well, if you're going to accept his person and care for him as a person, who are you to judge? And you must accept his behavior. It deserves equal billing with any other lifestyle. It deserves equal acceptance. Tolerance in the name of love. This kind of tolerance elevates sin to valid lifestyles. You need to read a book, and I do not say that I agree with all the associations of these authors. I do not. But they are thinkers, and independent Baptists need to be thinkers. You need to spend some time in a book called The New Tolerance by Josh McDowell and Bob Hostetler, if you want to know what destroyed the secular university campuses and what is destroying government. The liberalism that's destroying government. Read The New Tolerance by Bob Hostetler and Josh McDowell. These then are four of the tools that have been what the president likes to call change agents. And change they have. They have changed America from a virtuous nation to a nation that has done everything that was practiced in Sodom and Gomorrah. One of the most recent movies put out has a scene that features necrophilia, so-called love for the dead, and I will take it no further. Look up the term if you're not familiar with it, necrophilia. That's where these four change agents have taken the United States. How many remember Opie from Mayberry, USA? Remember good old Opie and Barney Fife? Ron Howard is going to produce the life story of Mr. Playboy, Hugh Hefner. That's little Opie. Because you see, little Opie didn't stay little Opie. He grew up, and he's far from Mayberry, USA. He is going to produce the life story of the publisher of Playboy magazine. And shame on him. But these four change agents have brought us into the new paganism. Relativism, compartmentalization, pragmatism, and the tolerance of unnatural perversion. I am not sure that we will recover. I believe that we can recover, but whether or not we will to recover is another thing. We must will to recover at the very grassroots, or we will not recover. But we can recover if we will repent and turn around the old definition of repentance, not this new kind that says you can repent in your mind, but it may never affect your actions. No, the old time preachers preach that when you repent and change your mind, it's going to affect your behavior. Enough of this double talk. Suppose our son said to me, "Dad, I'm sorry," and went out the next night and did it again. He would cast grave doubts on his profession of being sorry. If America will repent and turn around and go the other way, we can walk away from the path of a new paganism. Now, I want to share some things with you that deeply grieve me. This was in the Times near the end of June 1999. Solstice observers clash with police at Stonehenge. I understand this is Great Britain, but we're in NATO with Great Britain, and in spite of our independence, we're up to our necks with the NATO allies. It's called the Western world. Salisbury Plain, England. Summer solstice celebrations planned at the prehistoric Stonehenge Monument were called off Monday after uninvited crowds defied police orders. There's the lawlessness that goes along with this new paganism. These uninvited crowds defied police orders and pushed through a fence to invade the circle of stones. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I talk about Stonehenge? Those smooth stones, mammoth stones set up in order over there in England. That's the setting of ancient pagan druid worship. Any student of history knows that's where the druids used to worship. About 150 people had permission for an early morning druid celebration, but other celebrants intruded, climbing on top the 5,000-year-old stones. One woman stripped and danced naked as the sun rose over the horizon on the longest day of the year. She was worshiping the sun, no question about it. And she was worshiping the sun in the same fashion that the Canaanites perverted themselves with their pagan religions in the Old Testament. Police in riot gear broke up the celebration, arresting 23 people and evicting nearly 400 from the site. The site's owner, English Heritage, canceled three other planned solstice celebrations. It is really just that this situation is too unpredictable to continue to bring in a group whose safety may be at risk, the official statement of the agency read. Stonehenge, a double circle of large stones standing in the Salisbury Plain, became a popular spot for such celebration in the late 1980s when pagan worshippers flocked to the site to perform age-old ceremonies. The druids, who say the site was a center for pre-Christian and astronomical worship, criticized this year's revelers for denigrating the monument. You see, these new pagans felt that what happened to their monument was sacrilegious. "A Stonehenge should be a place of worship," said Kevin Carlyon, head of the British White Witches, who had permission, a permit, to be at the site to engage in white witchcraft. But Simon Sturrett, one of those who tried to join the druids, denied that the others caused any trouble or damage. We just came here to enjoy ourselves and to watch the rising of the sun. He said, paganism is back. This is from the July 2nd Times. That was Friday. Two things on one page. One page. The first is a review of a new movie, South Park. The review is written by Christopher Sheed, Times staff writer. It's a review of a new movie, which is a cartoon. And it says, South Park, bigger, longer, uncut. Incredibly vulgar and fun. But please don't take your kids. You see the divided mindset. Incredibly vulgar. Mr. Hyde, but don't take your children, Dr. Jekyll. Compartmentalization. If it's not good for your children, it's not healthy for you. Come on, come on. Compartmentalization. He said it's one of the vilest, most outrageously offensive motion pictures ever released by Hollywood. And it's absolutely flat out hysterical. Compartmentalization. It's also the perfect punishment for the millions of American parents who mindlessly herd their kids off to the movies, to movies they have no business seeing. So he says this is good punishment. Send them to one that turns their stomach. That'll teach you. Inevitably, some people will disregard the reviews, ignore the critics' warning, overlook the R rating, and allow their children to watch South Park, and most of them will be very, very sorry. South Park, you see, is not fit for children. Some could and probably will argue that it's not fit for adults, and I am one of them. And he comes near the end of his review by saying, yes, it's just that bad. On the same page, there is a big spread, I suppose close to two-thirds of that page, given over to Ozfest 99, named after Ozzy Osbourne, the pillar of the hard metal rock group Black Sabbath. And it says, follow the yellow brick road to Ozfest 99. Held in San Francisco? Held in Miami? Oh no. Held at Alpine Valley and the World Music Theater. Held in good old Middle America, not San Francisco. This is the same Ozzy Osbourne who thought it would be good for record sales and good to vent his new pagan witchcraft. So he bit off the head of a bat in the middle of a performance on the so-called stage. Two stages will be rocking full steam all day and into the night when 16 national metal acts hit Alpine Valley and the World Music Theater this month. Vince Kelly, oh, you say, well, it's still a few miles away. Vince Kelly, owner of the local heavy metal haunt, J.J. Kelly's in Lansing, as in Lansing, Illinois. Not Haight-Ashbury or California. Lansing, Illinois, said, for the money, it's probably the best show out there this summer. Lansing, Illinois. Rumor has it this will be Black Sabbath's final tour of the USA. So tickets are even harder to get. There's the price, $52.75 for pavilion seats, $32.75 for lawn seats. Said one of the promoters, the group is saying that this will be their last concert. That's how it's being billed. And he laughed. So I guess it really is their last tour. It is probably a promotional gimmick. they've been going to retire for a long, long time. But this really is their last tour. Let me quote to you from this book, The Devil's Disciples by Jeff Goodwin. Many of Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath song lyrics are themselves actual incantations calling up demons when the song is sung. The purpose of this is twofold. Number one, to exert control over the listener. And number two, to provide the listener with actual incantations so he can send demons upon another person to curse them when they upset him. You can learn your own demon language, and if someone cuts you off in the traffic, just go ahead and put a demon curse on him. If someone at high school does something in the locker next to you you don't like, just use the lyrics of Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath and go ahead and put a demon curse on them. Reference to people coming in robes with candles to hear Black Sabbath's music by Ozzy Osbourne on page 104 of this book makes reference to the ceremonies held by the Satanists to bless the rock music, Ozzy's songs. And the reference made on page 131 of this book by Paul Rothschild to subliminal rhythm track refers not only to backmasking, but also to the chanted incantations by Satanists in the background of the music. If you don't think there's a supernatural power behind heavy metal music, you just try to stop listening to it on your own, or try to get someone else who's addicted to it to stop without the power of God if you don't think there's a supernatural power behind it. And on I could go. I was so ignorant of this stuff a few months ago, I thought Marilyn Manson was female. And some of you were embarrassed for me and came up after and said, "Pastor, just for next time, he's a man." Well, yes, but he's also a cross-dresser. Marilyn Manson, who went to a conservative Catholic private school, received the 1996 MTV nomination for Best Hard Rock Video. Their most recent album, Antichrist Superstar, has already reached, this is about 2 years old, has already reached platinum, 1 million sales, and will probably reach double platinum. The music has been variously described as hard rock, heavy metal rock, shock rock, goth rock, and death rock. Marilyn Manson's father operates a furniture store, and his mother is a nurse. It can happen to any family, any father, any mother. He describes himself as a cross-dresser and is a reverend in the Church of Satan, ordained by Anton LaVey. Before Anton LaVey, the high priest of the Church of Satan, before he died, and gave the leadership of the Church of Satan to his daughter. Marilyn Manson is an ordained minister in the Church of Satan. I am trying to be discreet. If I had known a few months ago when I mentioned the name of this act, I don't know how I could have taken it. As a feature of their act, they have on stage caged crucified girls. On stage, in cages, crucified girls. Now, wait a minute, but you say that's San Francisco, where Anton LaVey had his Satan church. Wait a minute. Friday, 2 days ago, I went to Walmart to get a gift for somebody. I came out of Walmart in good old Sherrillville, and I saw a beat-up Plymouth Dodge. I think it was a Duster. A beat-up Plymouth Dodge product, and on the back, There were about three or four bumper stickers. One of the bumper stickers was the skull and crossbones. There was another one on the left. It said Marilyn Manson, and the one beside it on the right said American by birth, Antichrist by choice. That is what it said. I saw that 2 days ago. We're into the new paganism where people are proud to be married to the spirit of Antichrist. When the group performs, they put on the white makeup of the macabre, the white death makeup. All right, very quickly, what are the characteristics of the new paganism? What are the characteristics? Romans 1, 18 through 21. Here's the first one. I'll not read the verse again because of time. Romans 1, 18 through 21 and verse 28. The first mark of paganism. And the new paganism, remember, is just the recycled old paganism. And these are signs common to the old paganism and the new paganism. Number one, the deliberate rejection of truth and the deliberate substitution of myth. The deliberate, knowing, conscious rejection of truth and the deliberate substitution of myth. When they knew God, that's truth, they glorified him not as God. Their foolish heart was darkened. The deliberate substitution of myth for truth. Evolution as example. Humanism as another example. The liberal politicians in Washington know that the answer is not man pulling himself up by his bootstraps. They know that the solution is not pouring more money in and building new condos in Chicago, but yet they continue to apply the myth of humanism to the social problems of the United States, that just throw in enough money and enough education and all of the social problems will be corrected. That is the myth of humanism. There's a second mark of paganism, Romans 1:22, and we need to look at that. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Here's the second mark, the elevation of wisdom to a goddess status. The elevation of wisdom to goddess status, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Listen to me carefully. It is true that wisdom is indeed personified in the book of Proverbs. It's a valid poetic technique. You can personify the wind. You can, in poetry, pretend that the wind is like a person. You can personify the sun. That's personification. And in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is personified. She is compared to a woman. She is compared to a woman, but not a goddess. That's the difference. And these New Agers use the book of Proverbs to justify their elevating Sophia. Sophistry, it means wisdom in Greek. They use the book of Proverbs to justify elevating wisdom, Sophia, to the level of a goddess. But the book of Proverbs never says she's a goddess. The book of Proverbs is poetry. It simply compares her to a woman, not a goddess. There's a mammoth gap there that cannot be jumped. Proverbs 1:20, Proverbs 7, verse 4, the entire 8th chapter, and Proverbs 9, 1 through 6. Personifies wisdom as a woman, but not as a goddess. Sunday, June 5th, 1994. Headline, Hallowed Be Her Name. 2,000 women and a sprinkling of males gathered in Minneapolis. to exalt Sophia, the Greek goddess of wisdom, a female personification of God. They gave praise to a female personification of God, laughed and made fun of the patriarchal tradition of the church. In case you're wondering what that means, it means he, his, him. Oh, you say, well, I don't like that. Then you don't like the Bible. The Bible calls God he, his, him. That's good enough for me. I despise this new gender neutral stuff that these ecumenists are working on. And World Magazine blew the whistle on them about 2 years ago. All they did was go underground. They're still working at the new gender-neutral translation, and they're going to try to bring it back again when we fall asleep. This stuff never quits. It just tries to come in a different door. And they made fun of referring to God as he, his, him. They had a so-called communion service which featured honey and milk, and they linked it with a woman's capacity to have children. And that's as far as I will take it, because we do have teenagers. They did exactly what the Canaanites used to do. They worshipped the goddess female. And then they linked it to the procreative powers. But that's not all. There's a new hymn book out. A hymn book for the politically correct. It's called the New Century Hymnal. I've got to abbreviate. It's being used by the United Church of Christ, one of the most liberal denominations there is. This hymnal can be deceptive in that it contains many of the traditional hymns of the church, but they've made slight alterations in the wording to please the politically correct and the feminists, so that the hymn of the Father's love begotten now becomes of the parents' heart begotten. The feminists will like that. And so the song, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, is now entitled, Dear God, Embracing Humankind. The doxology is no longer praise, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but the doxology now is one God, triune, whom we adore. And the new version of the Glory Patria is no longer glory be to the Father, it is glory to the Creator. Glory to the Creator, including the Mother God. The new paganism elevates wisdom to goddess status. Got to go on. Romans 1, 23 and 25. 23, 25. Change the glory of the uncorruptible God to an image made like the corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts. Verse 25b, worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Here's the third characterization. Paganism, whether old or new, paganism places an increased emphasis on nature and the creation. It's called pantheism. Paganism always places an increased emphasis on nature and creatures. Oh, God's in everything. And Maya Angelou, at our president's first inauguration, read her poem about finding God in the river, the rock, and the trees. That is pantheism. That is tree-hugging pantheism. It's paganism. Learn to recognize it. It says, God is not a person, he's a force. And because he's a force, he's everywhere. Heard recently about the force again? There is an emphasis on nature and creatures, and a de-emphasis on the Creator. The fourth mark of paganism, old or new, is found in Romans 1, verses 24 and 26. It's moral uncleanness. Moral uncleanness and perversion. I have a page here which says that this re-imaging conference in Minneapolis with these 2,000 women and the sprinkling of men also said that the goddess wisdom, Sophia, endorses lesbianism. It's inseparably connected. They go hand in glove. Moral uncleanness, perversion, is always a mark of paganism. Then number five. Josiah became king of God's people. Josiah loved God, and he became a great reforming king. Turn to 2 Kings 23. I want you to know I'm not making it up. 2 Kings 23. Verse 14b. One of Josiah's reforms was this. 2 Kings 23, 14b. He cut down the groves. And then the end of verse 15. The high place he break down and burned the high place and stamped it small to powder and burned the grove. This is Smith's Bible Dictionary. And it says that grove in our beloved KJV, grove is a euphemism for places to worship the goddess of fertility, Ashtoreth. That's what grove means when you read it in the Old Testament. Josiah broke down these houses of immorality. And that is an expression of the fifth characteristic of paganism, old or new. Paganism legitimizes moral uncleanness. Now that's a step further. It's one thing to be morally unclean. We saw that in the fourth characteristic. But this is a step further. Paganism is not only morally unclean, it goes a step further. It legitimizes moral uncleanness. It provides for the proliferation of moral uncleanness by assigning to it a valid role in religion. It's different. One thing to be morally unclean, it's another thing to justify it by providing it or assigning to it a valid role in the involvement in religion. And that's what was going on in these so-called groves. Another way to put it is temple prostitution. Look at chapter 23, verse 5, and you'll see the sixth one. And I'm going to have to wrap up here. 23:5. The end of the verse, it says, Josiah purged those that burned incense to Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and all the host of heaven. The sixth characteristic of paganism, old or new, is the proliferation of astrology. The multiplication of Gene Dixon houses and Gene Dixon columns and Gene Dixon type spots on the internet. The growth of astrology. Preoccupation with the planets. Assigning to the planets supernatural powers. That's a mark of paganism. Then verse 7 brings us to the seventh mark. Verse 7. And Josiah break down the houses of the Sodomites. The seventh mark of paganism, old or new, is toleration for the practice of sodomy. Toleration for the practice of perversion. We should always care for all sinners, but we should never legitimize acts of sin that God calls wicked, self-defeating, and destructive. Toleration for practices of perversion. verse 10 of chapter 23. Oh my, I want to cry. And Josiah defiled Topheth. Now this is a good kind of defilement. The devil has defiled long enough. The devil has besmirched decent and upright things long enough. Here, this king, he defiled wickedness. He turned the tables. This righteous king defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom. That's where we get the word Gehenna from which we get hell. And it's because there was fire there. And the practice in the valley of Hinnom or Gehenna was that people would take their newborn babies and place their newborn infants in the arms of a gigantic metal statue and light fire and burn them up to the gods. And we're no better because we've got abortion on demand. We're no better because we have partial birth abortion. We're no better. We're doing it right here in the Western world, and we call ourselves cultured and civilized. We're pagan. We're pagan. We're killing people by the millions. And I express that characteristic this way, and I'm trying to be discreet. Fixation with the process, disregard for the product. Fixation with the process, disregard for the product, the babies. That's what Hollywood's all about. Fixation with the process, disregard for the results, the consequences, otherwise called a baby. Number 9, verse 14a. He break in pieces the images. Josiah broke the images or idols because he knew that the ninth characteristic of paganism, old or new, is the worship of idols. The worship of idols. The Elvis Presleys, the John Lennons, the Sophia Lorenz, the gods and goddesses of Hollywood, the entertainment and the sports industries. The worship of idols is always a sign of paganism. Please don't ever get to think too much of me. Love me. Pray for me. Feel free to come to me and say, Pastor, I wonder, did you really have time to think about what you did? Pastor, did you ever consider this aspect? Love me, pray for me. But don't put me on a pedestal. God's a jail God. Elvis Presley is not the king and never was. Michael Jordan is not the greatest and never was. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. But the proliferation of idols and the worship of idols is a sign of paganism. Never turn me into an idol. I'm just a man. And so is every preacher on the face of this earth and every missionary and every evangelist. You don't help me. You don't do me a service by turning me into an idol. You do me a disservice. And you hurt the work of God by turning any human being into an idol. Don't do it. It's against the Bible. You say, well, I love somebody a lot. That's all right. Love them a lot. But never, never let them become an idol. Hollywood idols, religious idols, sports idols. Don't worship idols. It's pagan. And finally, it says in 2 Kings 23, verses 21 and 22, and also in Romans 1, 21, that there are precious doctrines that must be held close and cherished or they get lost. What you have in 2 Kings 23, 21 and 22 is Josiah reinstituted Passover. He reinstituted Passover. One of the most important doctrines of Judaism, when she had been right with God. And the verse says, there never had been a Passover like the one that Josiah had. Never had been during the time of the judges. Why? Because in the time of the judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And some didn't think that Passover was important anymore, so they didn't have it. Others said, well, Passover is a bit important, so we'll have it, but we'll change it. And they lost the doctrine of Passover. They lost it. And that's the last characteristic of paganism, old or new. The neglect or minimization of historic orthodox doctrines and practices. They lost the doctrine of Passover. All we need is a bunch of these sophists running around saying that you can have communion with milk and honey and we'll lose the Lord's Supper. Come on. That's all we need to happen for a little while. All we need is for some fella out in Hollywood. It's wrapped up in the excitement of the so-called Jesus movement. Baptizes in a swimming pool apart from the authority of the local church. God has given the authority for believers' baptism to the local church, not somebody in their backyard swimming pool. All we need is for somebody to say what one of them said, you can have the Lord's Supper with crackers and Pepsi. All we need is that. And we lose the cherished doctrine of the Lord's Supper. We're just that close to paganism. The death of doctrines that have been historically cherished. The death of those doctrines which are the lowest common denominators, either through perversion or benign neglect, where we forget to teach our children what and why. Perversion of doctrines or benign neglect. Oh, as far as I'm concerned, recent polls have indicated that the majority of Americans are not moral. I never did see it. I never did think that the majority was moral. People who did were sincere, and they have a right to their opinion. But recent polls certainly prove there is no moral majority in America. The majority is new pagan. New pagan. But as we heard this morning so eloquently, we are to be salt and light. And only when we're salt and light do we have a hope of seeing the new paganism put to flight by a new wave of soul winning and missions, a new movement of holy living that cherishes the old doctrines and won't let them go. Let's pray. Our Father, I am so temptable . Let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Oh God, I don't ever want to become a pagan because I turn my back on known truth and substitute for it a myth. I thank you for every sincere one who's tried to have a role in the evangelization of America. But I pray that we would not be fooled in the 1990s into thinking that this is a Christian nation, but that we might know that if putrefaction, if the corruption of the meat cannot be held back, it is simply because there isn't enough salt. The majority is not salt. If the darkness is abounding, it's because the majority is not light. And oh God, please send revival to my heart. And may I never become a pagan. And grant that our grandson should never be a pagan. Take me and him both home to heaven before he or I would ever be an American pagan. Help every father, every mother, every teenager. Help us to know the warning signs of paganism and resist it with a passion and fight it till we die, so that you, Lord Jesus, can be lifted up high.
We trust you have been encouraged or strengthened by the word today. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at graceglory7@juno.com. That's graceglory7@juno.com. We will reply to all those who contact us. And now, until next time, may the good Lord bless and keep you.